On holiday in the south of Ireland last month, my wife and I visited Valentia Island, County Kerry. This island is about 7 miles long and about 3 miles wide. At Knightstown, on the eastern tip of the island, with its some 215 inhabitants, there stands the island's museum. Housing its 150-year-old national schoolhouse built in 1861. The schoolhouse museum has three rooms, and in those three rooms, there are three aspects of the island that are shown clearly. The first room tells of the story of what it was like to go to school in 1861 and up. The second room took in more of the historical facts of the island. History of the harbour, the building of the bridge, the wildlife, the lighthouses, and indeed the famous Valentia Slate Quarry. Many of those slabs were taken and placed in the corridors of Westminster. However, it was the third room that really caught my attention. A very moderate but nonetheless very impressive display concerning the laying of the Atlantic Ocean Telegraph communication cable. There were various displays of the communication cable and also the telegraphic equipment that was used to send messages underneath the sea from Valentia Island to Newfoundland. Letters of correspondence were shown prominently in displays around about this room. Hardships were also documented. Hardships in laying of this Atlantic cable and the difficulties associated with it. Black and white photographs, drawings of the great ships used to lay the cable were displayed on the walls, the Great Eastern taking pride of place, the greatest ship in the world at that time, and the one that was successful in laying the Atlantic cable on the fifth attempt. The driving force behind the laying of this Atlantic cable was Mr. Cyrus Field West, the son of a very prominent congregational minister. There were many photographs of this great man adorning the displays of that museum. This man, more than any, suffered many heartaches, many setbacks, but yet he stuck to the job. Yet he kept going, yet he kept on, pressing forward, never looking back, never taking no for an answer. You and I can't imagine today the hardships that were undergone in the laying of the Atlantic cable. We take communication today for granted. We have our very fast hi-fi. We have our smartphones. We have our email. We have our internet connections. All these things at the press of a button. It didn't used to be like that. Our television sets can our television can now receive information from Wembley Stadium. A live match, can I enter into our homes just as if we were there? Whenever I looked at this room and the laying of the Atlantic communication cable, my immediate thought was this: that's just like prayer. That's just like prayer. And brothers and sisters, this morning I would like to take the few minutes that are given to me this morning to use the laying of the Atlantic cable and learn some lessons from that for you and I as Christians in a place of prayer. The first thing that's very obvious when you look across that museum room is this. There was a tremendous cost involved. Number one, in finances. Finances. $350,000 to lay the first cable, which was a failure. Sarsfields had to go around America and Britain seeking to interest men in this wonderful invention to raise money. He went to the American Exchequer, the British Exchequer, and there he had to basically beg for the money to lay this Atlantic cable. There was a cost involved. And Christian, when it comes to the laying of the cable of prayer in your Christian life, there is a cost involved to you. And that cost can be at the expense of overtime, time and a half and double time. And you have to weigh up in one hand the money and the meeting with God in the other. What do you do on prayer meeting night? Are you prepared to sacrifice your cable of prayer to the throne of grace for a larger pay packet at the end of the week? Finance involved. But there's another cost, and that's human endurance. Sarsfields had to cross the Atlantic some 30, 40, 50 times. And this man suffered from seasickness on every occasion. But nevertheless, he went on with the job. Human endurance. Christian, do you endure in the place of prayer? Do you endure? Are you instant in season and out of season? When you want to come and when you don't want to come? Well, there's many a Christian, and they suffer from prayer sickness. You'd hardly see them in the prayer meetings of the church. You have a mission coming up. Folks, listen, if you don't pray, if you don't pray, you're wasting your time. You've got to seek the Lord's face. You're going to have to sacrifice. Human endurance, human sacrifice. When you want to come to pray and when you don't want to come to pray. Don't suffer from prayer seasickness. There is a cost involved. You remember the disciples. Matthew's Gospel 26 and 40, the Lord upbraids them. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? 1 hour, Peter. You know, the cry out of the heart of the Christian today is this. I don't see God working. I would love to see God doing something. And we hide behind those words. I don't see God doing anything. How did you get to the church this morning? I'm sure you came by car, minibus, or some other way. Did you see the pistons and the engine of that car get you to the church this morning? Certainly not. You didn't see it, but it was working. It got you here. I'm sure each and every one here today has a mobile phone. Do you see the signals coming into your mobile phone? No, but you hear the voice at the other end. You know it's working. I'm sure many of you maybe have gone on holidays this year already in an airplane. Maybe some still to go to Disney. Maybe to go to Spain to the sun. And you sit at the end of that runway, and the next thing you feel yourself being pushed back into the seat as she takes off the ground. An airplane needs thrust. Thrust to take us off the ground. Do you see it? Of course you don't. You need to see into the engine on the plane to do so. But you know it's working because you're going down that runway at 100 miles an hour, and the next thing, your heart's in your mouth as it takes into the sky. Folks, it's no excuse not to pray. I can't see God working. It's not an excuse. God is always at work. Always at work. And just because God doesn't come and meet our fancies doesn't mean that he's not at work. Folks, don't allow that to put you off prayer. Be instant, in season, and out of season. Folks, there is a cost involved. You've got to pay the price. Pay the price. Go through with God your vows to pay, and all upon the altar lay. Go through with God. There's a cost involved. Secondly, there is a conductor essential to prayer. There is a conductor essential for the signal to travel from Valentia Island to Newfoundland in the New World. The discovery of copper ore makes it possible for electricity to pass beautifully from one line to another. But did you know that whenever you take copper ore out of the ground, it's not pure? The sediment within it. And as a result, it has to go through what's called electrolysis. I'm not even going to go into the scientific thing of all that. It's way beyond me. But simply put it's this. You take the copper and you put it into the sulfuric tank of acid, and then you charge it with electricity. And the sludge falls to the bottom of the tank. And then you keep the pure copper for the job in hand. Cyrus Fields needed something that would take a voice from Valentia Island in Ireland to Newfoundland in the New World. And that was copper. That was copper. It's a great conductor of electricity. Your house is full of copper wires. It's a great conductor. Christian, for prayer to flow in your life, for prayer to flow in my life, we must have a good conductor. to take our voice from our hearts to the heart of God. We need a good conductor. And we need to get rid of the sludge that prevents us from praying through with God. Can't think of any better verses than these. Hebrews 10 and 22. Let us draw nigh with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Hebrews 10 and 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus. Folks, that's the sulfuric acid of the Christian. The blood of Jesus. And whenever we come into the presence of God Almighty, and we are charged by the Word of God, the sludge falls from our Christian lives. We are purified by the blood of the Lamb. If you come to the place of prayer, you come harboring sin, harboring guilt, harboring envy, greed, and lust, you can be dead on sure you're not going to get through to God the way you should. We must get rid of the sludge. We need the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse us and to wash us. The Bible says if we say we have no sin, if we have no sin, we make him a liar. Of course we have sin. We're born in sin, shaping in sin. Of course we have. We rub shoulders with the world every day. This denomination does not believe in perfection of Christianity until we are sanctified fully and totally and glorified at the other end. Then we have perfection. When we're glorified with our God. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Folks, we need to have the blood applied. If you're going to have a good connection between earth and heaven, you need the sludge out. You need the sludge out. You need the blood. Whenever the copper wire was encased inside the cable, it was ready to be laid at Valentia Island and connected at the other end to Newfoundland. And folks, there's a connection to be made here on earth between you and your God. And the way that connection is made is through God the Holy Ghost. And you and I need to be filled with God, the Holy Ghost, for to have power with God. We can't pray in the flesh. We can't pray in ourselves. We can only pray when we're filled with God, the Holy Ghost, and we have power to pray, and we want to pray. We want to come boldly onto the throne of grace where there is power with God. Of course, there are hindrances to prayer, isn't there? Sarah's field had many hindrances. Before that fifth and last attempt was made, with the great Eastern delay, that cable, hindrances. And I would lay odds today that there are people here and there are hindrances in your Christian life, in your prayer life. And you're not found in the place of prayer. One of the greatest problems that Sarah Fields had to face was the communication centre at Valentia. Communication centre at Hearts Content in Newfoundland. And you know what it was? It was this. That someone would forget to charge the batteries. Simple as that. Simple as that. Forget to charge the batteries. And Christian, there are so many Christians, and we forget to charge the batteries. And as a result, there is no communication with our God. There is no communication. There's no battery power. Did you know that prayerlessness is a sin? 1 Samuel 12:23, moreover, answer me, God forbid that I should sin against God in ceasing to pray for you, but I teach you the good and right way. It's a sin not to pray. Folks, we need to get rid of the hindrances. Charge the batteries. Where do you charge the batteries? Simple. The Word of God. If you don't read it, study it, chew over it, let it sink into your heart. See Christ, see God, see Him working, see Him doing things. Bible left on the shelf from one week to the next. You'll be dead sure you're coming to church with a flat battery. There'll be no communication. I remember going one day to a church, I'll not say where it is or anything about it. There wasn't one single person in the prayer meeting. Not one. Not one. I can tell you, when you have to come up here and stand before a congregation, men and women, brothers and sisters, you need God's people to pray for you. You need people to pray, folks. You need to pray. Prayerlessness is a sin. Poor battery supply. And then another thing that Cyrus Fields had to get done was this. He had to find out what the Atlantic Ocean bed was like. Would it sustain a telegraphic cable? Or were there rocks down there that would cut it in pieces with the shifting of the tides? With the pressure at that depth, what would it do to the cable? There were so many questions that had to be asked. My question is this. What is the seabed of your heart like? What's it like when it comes to prayer? When you come to lay that cable of prayer from earth to heaven, what's it like? Is it filled with rocks of disappointment? Is the ocean currents of life of disappointment coming into your heart, stealing you away from prayer and the presence and power of God? What's the ocean floor of your heart like? Whenever you lay your prayer cable from earth to heaven. Sin. Sin in the believer. That'll stop your prayer life. That's the copper ore, isn't it, that hasn't been run through the, like electrolysis. Patience in prayer. Current of impatience. Prayed for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. Where's God? Where's my answers? Why am I so different? With all these accusing things that come into the heart, hindrances, maybe we're rendering evil for evil. Someone does something on us, so well, it's time to get them back. Folks, that's wrong. The seabed of the heart, the seabed of the Atlantic Ocean, believe it or not, has a lot of sediment in it. A lot of sediment. In fact, it's probably the best ocean in the world for laying a telegraphic communication cable. Very few rocks, very few rocks that would cut the cable. Problems. See the where the heart. Battery's flat. Christian, there's another problem here. That's too much power. Too much power. Now let me explain this. At Valentia Island, there was a man, I think they called him Dr. Whitehouse. I didn't write it down here. But this man dabbled in electricity. And this man thought he knew more about telegraphic communication than all the experts put together. So one day this man came with all his paraphernalia and he wired it up to the cable and put the switch down. The next thing, he burned the cable to pieces. He put too much power through the cable and burned it out. Whenever I was going to Tandragee Young People's Fellowship under the ministry of the Reverend Frank McClelland, we were only saved at the time. We were about a dozen young people. And he used to take us to the side and he used to advise us how to pray. And he was telling us that the most important thing in the Christian life is you've got to pray. And then he warned us. Don't go expecting to spend a day in prayer. He says you must take it minute by minute. I can remember that as well to this day. He would say, start off with 5 minutes every day as a young Christian. Then build it up to 6. Build it up to 7. Build it up to 8. Build it up to 9. Build it up to 15 and 20 and 30. Build it up. There's some Christians that think they can go into the place of prayer and stay there for a whole day or 4 hours or whatever. And after an hour, they're burnt out. In fact, some after 10 minutes, they're burnt out. They can't go on any further. And they get discouraged. They get disheartened. And the devil comes in. The devil comes in. And he'll discourage you even more. Christian, I know there are men in the Christian Church of Jesus Christ who are gifted in the place of prayer. Praying Hyde, one of them. E.M. Bounds, another one of them. And I'm sure you could mention others here this morning. Folks, don't burn out in the place of prayer. And that doesn't mean to say that I'm giving you a license to stay away. I'm trying to help you the way that we were helped in our youth fellowship 37 years ago. Yeah, it's hard to believe, isn't it? 37 years ago. Don't burn out. Young Christian especially. Start off small. 5 minutes, we were told. Add a minute every day. You know, I can go for 2 hours today. 2 hours in prayer. That's it. I can't go beyond it. 2 hours and I'm finished. 2 hours and I'm exhausted. to yours, and I have to stop. Folks, I know when to pull the plug after 37 years. Don't go on punishing yourself in the place of prayer and burning out. Don't burn out. That doesn't say don't pray. Hope you've got the message there. Trying to help the younger people and not one more than the older people. And then there was another problem that faced Sarah's fields. And that was the anchor. The anchor. Whenever a ship came into the harbor in from the mainland, it would drop an anchor. Now, some of those anchors weighed from a ton to the Great Eastern that weighed 7 tons. Can you imagine if that fell on a telegraphic communication cable, what it would do? Break it in pieces. Break it in pieces. Communication lost. They'd have to trail it in and they'd have to splice it and get it all sorted out again. Christian, listen. The devil wants to drop an anchor in your soul. He wants to drop an anchor in your prayer life. Yes, he wants to drop an anchor on you and finish you in the place of prayer. Crush your prayer life. The cable had to come in over the beach. There was a shallow end. There are a lot of Christians today. Do you know where they play? The shallow end of the world. Shallow end. Devil comes along and he drops an anchor on you. Big splash. Prayer life is crushed. No prayer life. Christian, you play with a world, you're going to get burned. You paddle next to the shore, the devil's going to drop something on you. What about the fruits of the Spirit? What about your love, your joy, your peace, your long-suffering, your gentleness, your meekness, your temperance and your faith? Are you exercising them? Are they coming forth in the church? Are they coming forth in the community in which you live in? Or has Satan dropped an anchor on the fruits of the Spirit in your life? Yes, there's a cost involved. There's a conductor that is required. And finally, you can have confusion in the Christian life. What's it all about? What's it all about? What's this prayer all about? Folks, do you know what real prayer is? Do you know what it is? Well, I'm going to tell you what real prayer is. Real prayer is finding the heart of God. Finding the mind of God. Finding the will of God for your life. That's what real prayer is. Finding the burden of the Lord. Folks, I tell you, do you see when you find these 4 things in your prayer life, you'll have answers to prayer. Do you know what we want to do? We want to be selfish. Lord, I need a house. Lord, I need a car. Lord, I need this, that, and the other. Folks, what you need is the will of God, the mind of God, the heart of God, and most of all, the burden of the Lord. And what you do is you take the burden of the Lord into your heart and you pray the burden back to God. God answers that burden because it's His burden. his burden. Confusion. And the laying out of the cable into the Atlantic Ocean. The cable was probably only about that thickness. Inch and a half, inch and three quarters. It had to come out of the great ships of the time, out of the hull of the ships, through a breaking mechanism, and out over a pulley at the end, dropping into the sea. Tangles in the cable were a common problem. Tangles. It would come out of the hull of the ship. If the ship went down into a swell and up again, sometimes the braking mechanism failed, and then there was a tangle in the cable. Sometimes it had to be cut. Sometimes it quite literally broke with the stress and the strain. There was some confusion. Christian, you can enter into the mechanism of the Christian life and get entangled in the things of this world. Young Christian, especially, you young girls, you young fellas, make sure you marry in the Lord. Make sure you marry a born-again Christian. But he loves me. I'm in love with him. It's all right until you want to go to their prayer meeting. It's all right. Do you want to go to worship on Sunday morning and Sunday night? You want to become a missionary? You want to be a Sunday school teacher? Then these things raise their head. I know a young woman married an unsaved boyfriend. I love him. He loves me. 6 months, marriage was over. 6 months, marriage was over. You know, another young girl, aspirations to go to the mission field. Her mother and father were the old-fashioned kind and said, you can't go till you're 21. And in obedience to her father and mother, she waited till she was 21, but in the meantime, she met an unsaved boyfriend. And I met her about a year ago. There is no aspirations whatsoever to be a missionary for Jesus Christ on the face of the earth. To my recollection, she's not even a Sunday school teacher or works in a children's meeting. You marry wrong, you'll pay for it. You'll pay for it with confusion of mind and of heart. And your prayer life will go down into the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, broken and never to be brought back again. And see him in business too. You know another man? He went into a man in business. Near ruined him. Man he went into, he thought he was a great straight man. Turned out he was a crook. He was a crook. Just a couple of wee things here, and I'll just set them before you. Sarah Fields had to deal with sabotage. Sabotage. On board the Great Eastern. You see, there were other telegraphic communication corporations, and they were vying for positions. If you could get a communication cable that brought you the stockbroker's information at the start of the day, it was a big thing. So man was planted on board to sabotage the cable. And that's what he done. He put a nail through the cable. Sabotaged it. Do Do you know, Christian, that you can sabotage your own prayer life, your own Christian life? You can sabotage it with a nail that's called disappointment. Where's God? Why doesn't he answer my prayers? I said this at the beginning. Folks, this is a real thing in the Church of Christ today. I've talked to people in 37 years, and what they say to me is, John, why should I pray for God doesn't hear my prayer? God doesn't answer. And immediately they sabotage their own Christian life. They sabotage their cable of prayer to the throne of grace. And finally, I'll just be about a minute, I promise you that. Whenever the workers in Valencia were working for the Telegraphic Communication Center, you knew who they were. Do you know why? Because outside the houses that were built for them, there was a molding of the communication cable right round their house. And whenever they walked out of the door, people knew who they worked for. Christian, when you walk out of your house, do people know where you're going and who you work for? Are you an example of the believer? May the Lord help you, and I trust that this wee message will have been of some help to you. May the Lord bless you.